glad you brought that out, Emil, because were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Just
go
a
ahead.
General
I'll
question.
Follow you.
If you continue to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, will he leave you?
If you continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, will he leave you? Absolutely not. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You want to always remember that. I don't want to go too far back on yesterday's reading except to say this. He can either occupy me with one of two things. He can occupy me with the glory and the beauty of Christ and his word, or he can occupy me with my failure. If he's occupying me with my failure, he's not occupying me with the beauty of Christ. So that's the whole thing. We had mentioned a moment ago, we can do two things. We can grieve him. To grieve him is to make him unhappy. We can quench him when he has been asking us to do something. He set something before us that he wants us to do, and we don't do it. Finally, he speaks no more to us. We quench his working in that way. But I want to say this about the verse that we're in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I am indwelled. I don't ever have the scripture saying, Chuck, be indwelled with the Spirit of God. This verse is a privilege. This is the privilege of the believer, as Emil has said, to be more under the control of the Spirit of God. We generally link it with special occasions. The gospel meeting, a ministry meeting, a time when the Lord is using me to speak in a lecture or something, that I want totally to be under the control of the Spirit of God. It is my privilege. I am enjoined to do that. Be filled. How much is filled? It's to the top, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't mean that I'm more indwelt by him, but it means that I am more and more under his power and under his control in my life.
But I think the comparison then between be not drunk with wine and verse 19 is that it's verse 18, that it's not something, this being filled, this fact that the Spirit is in us, we're filled with the Spirit of God, and that it's not something that's manufactured by the flesh. Speaking of that which is be not drunk with wine, which is the activity of the old man, the flesh. And in verse 19 is the activity of the new man, and that which is maintaining this energy, so to speak. There's a speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is that which is, we're occupied with that which is of Christ, that which is of the new man, that which is there that would give glory to him, but that feeds the inner man, and that the outflowing is that, is the result of that which is going in.
I think this whole idea of being filled with the Spirit, and I like when you said about the comparison with drinking with wine. So here is a practical example for you. How many of you driving on a highway sometimes, seeing a police car with the red light, chasing somebody, and stop him? And then pull him out of the car? Because he is drunk. How do they know that? Before they give him even the test. They get him out of the car, and they ask him to walk. And they see if he walks in a straight line or he's wobbly. If he's under the influence, he is not going to walk in a straight line. And then they start asking him questions and see how he talks. And if he's talking like a drunk man, they know that he's under the influence. And then they give him that test to see if he's how much he's drunk. It's the way he walk. It's the way he talk. Tells me what influence is he under. Trust me, it's the same thing with you. If I pull you out of your car and I ask you to walk, can I tell that you are under the influence of the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit of God as a person, divine person, has influence. The way you walk, where you gather, are you under the instruction of the Spirit of God or are you under another influence? The way you talk, what influence are you under? It influences you. That's simply it. That's why he compared it with not to be drunk with wine. What influence are you under? And that's why I mentioned the computer and Intel inside. Every time you reach your computer, because you're doing homework or you're searching something, and you're tempted to go somewhere, look at that sticker. And just remember that just like there is a microchip in that computer saying Intel inside, that there is something in you too saying the Holy Spirit is inside. Let him control you so you would not, your fingers would not type the wrong thing and you go astray. Remember that. But that is the whole idea of being under the control or under the influence of the Spirit of God. It shows itself in the way you walk and in the way you talk.
And I'll add this to that, in this analogy of the police officer, he can even look at the person driving and see that something is wrong. And that's why he has them step out of the vehicle. And so the challenge to us as young people, I want to tell you this honestly and sincerely, those who are spiritually mature can look at young people and see if you are under the influence of the Spirit of God, if he is in control. Because before I ask you to walk a straight line, I might see you sitting there, standing there, and I can see if you're struggling. I can see what is a part of you that is a part of someone who is under the control of this alcohol in the world, what Satan has set before you. So let us take, again, this searchlight of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and ask ourselves, when someone looks at me, are they going to say that I'm under the control of the Spirit of God? Or are they going to look at me and say, this is a young man or young sister that says they belong to the Lord, that says that they are saved, that says that they are set apart, and yet there's no outward display of him or her being under the control of the Spirit of God? And then if someone says, brother, let me look at that walk. And they see that wobbly walk. And that walk is wobbling you sometimes to the meeting, sometimes somewhere else. What we're listening to, we listen to the language, right? And it's, we're not talking about filthy, profane language here. We're listening to the normal language that you have. Someone that is under the influence. Look at that next verse. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we are under the control of the Spirit of God, what is produced is of the Spirit himself, from the Word of God. We speak of Christ. When there are conflicts, oh, that man knows how to diffuse a situation. He knows how to forgive. He knows how to love. It's all eminent in what we say. So let's make these things very clear and practical. That influence, that control of the Spirit of God is first seen in our display, our deportment, how we dress. Then it's heard in our normal language. And then it's seen in that pathway that we're walking. Okay?
You know, the example has always been, to me, one that I could always easily understand. Do you remember the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? They were used to eating leeks, onions, and garlic. Emil tells us often, we are what we eat. How can you tell if somebody's been in the leeks and the onions and the garlic? Smells. They begin to talk to you. And right away, you know where they have been eating. You know what they have been feeding upon. So it's a very simple lesson for us. Let's feed upon Christ. That's what we're saying.
I think it has been said, but I just want to put it a bit more clearly. When it says, and do not be drunk with wine, and I speak to myself also right here. Well, wine is the fruit of the vine. It's the fruit of the earth. So it's not necessarily alcohol that it's talking about here, but everything that could distract us and keep us attached to this earth. Because when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. We shouldn't be attached to this earth. We should be attached to the Lord.